Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers. FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers. FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Fuck coins, hell pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted. I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we rise up, unity is so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Fuck coins, hell pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Talk to him, Dr. Clark.
He called for the unity and the redemption of the African world.
Salute them, Honorable Marcus Garvey.
We were not ready to listen then.
They might not have been ready then.
There's wonder whether we are ready.
Ain't no doubt about it.
To listen.
We ready, baby.
Now. Nah.
Let's go. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Flag fly high. Woo! Flag fly high. Flag fly high. Black fist in the sky with the side. The flag fly high.
Colors forever, Garvey would never die. On my 90, the throne ready, let's take a ride. Tax won't fix, men don't, choose a side. This is the path for the warriors. Seldom travel, yet still bad, glorious. Black power represents us. You either rolling with Africa or against us.
Flag.
the gods melanating and elevating, holding the main charge. The green is for the cradle. Africa, everything first, the earth's navel. His excellency put it together as a symbol of liberation. That's how we get the letters RBG.
I remember Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. He had me feeling like black was the and they wonder why we crazy. I blame my mother for turning my brother into a black baby. We ain't meant to survive, cause it's a setup. But even though you're better,
baby, I'm better.
On their own. I know it's kind of rough and you're feeling all alone. Daddy's long gone and he left you by your lonesome. Thanks the Lord for my kids, even if nobody else wants them. Cause I think we can make it, in fact, I'm sure. And if you fall, stand tall or come back for more. Cause ain't nothing worse than when your son wants to know why daddy don't love him no more. You can't complain, you were selfless. Hell of a hand without a man feeling helpless. Because there's too many things for you to deal with. Dying inside. But outside you're looking big. While the tears is rolling down your cheek, you're steady hoping things don't all fall this week. Cause if it did, you couldn't take it. And don't blame me, I was given this world, I didn't make it. And now my son's getting older and older and cold from having the world on his shoulders. While the rich kids are driving big, but still trying to hold on to surviving friends. And it's crazy, and things will never let up. Gotta keep your head up.
I fight you, I fight myself. I fight God to tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorstep. Life a living hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all a prophecy and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
Pray to me. Take my pain to me.
family. Black power, black love. Welcome back to New Black Panther Party Radio. You are live, family. You are live again, as you are every night here tonight on day 565 of New Black Panther Party Radio. And on this broadcast, we want you to know that it is powered by the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense under our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. This powerful black revolutionary, black nationalist, freedom-fighting militia, and our collective organization. You are live here tonight on New Black Panther Party Radio with your host, Brother Captive Sadiq, and you are live now for 565 days, non-stop, day after day, critical, life-saving information, reports, and the rundown on all of what is going on in our black nation from here in the belly of the beast as we broadcast to you and around the world across the African diaspora. You are listening. Some of our people are listening from right here in the hills of North America, inside and in and behind enemy lines. Some of our people across the African diaspora are listening in Africa. Some are listening in other countries. But we tell you, family, as we welcome you to this broadcast here tonight, we don't care where you are listening from. It doesn't matter what colonial language has been put onto you or what artificial borders our people have been forced into, what label the white man has put on to you. You are our brothers and our sisters, and beloved brothers and sisters, we welcome you to this broadcast here live on New Black Panther Party Radio. We will tell you that there is no place to be, and right here every night, as we expose the true nature of that which we are at war with, the entity of the systematic criminal enterprise of the United States government, those who support and work along with this beast. You will continue to expose the true nature of our open enemy. We will continue to allow and use this broadcast as a channel. Use this broadcast as an avenue and a signaling pathway for those who want to know. We live in a time of great calamity and an hour of confusion. So we take out the time every night to let the people know. We got to let the people know. So that is why when you call into this broadcast, we let you know that this is a participation-based broadcast. This is a teach one, reach one, reach one, teach one broadcast here tonight. And we appeal to the masses of our people, and we appeal to the nature of your participation as we broadcast here tonight. At any point in this broadcast, as you begin to develop any questions on what we will bring tonight, or you have any comments on the information that we will bring tonight, we want you to press the number one to join us in our live discussion here tonight on day 565 of New Black Panther Party Radio. We want to let you know, family, that there is much that we can do and a lot of things that we can do to participate in our black nation. A lot of things that we can do. For some, this may be your very first night listening in to this broadcast. If you're listening from our online link at blogtalkradio.com/the New Black Panther Party. Or if you have called in here tonight at 718-664-6398. Really don't make no difference to us. You know what I'm saying? But if you called in here tonight, that is more of a reason for you to participate. What have we been discussing at the top of our broadcast every night is the potential participation, collaboration, and collective effort, work, and responsibility. Those are the masses of our people who understand clearly what is going on in this nation. No people throughout the aisles of time have faced the brunt force of this wicked beast. So we say to you, here tonight on this broadcast, not only do we expect the participation of the people, the hour that we are on, the dispensation of time that we have here to join you tonight. And we are honored and humbled that you would join us as well. And we take out the time for understanding that we may come to a collective ideology by the end of our time that we have on this earth. This broadcast is just a stepping stone up into, as we settle on to the course of the rise of our black nation. So we say to you that the participation is not just on this radio broadcast family. It's not just on social media. You come from a great line of mighty ancestors who did not have social media. You did not have the ability to create an internet radio show and get out the information to those who need it the most. You come from a great long line of ancestors who fought this goddamn white man, and we move today in the rhythm and the spirit of those great ancestors. We're telling you that the work, the most important work, the most important collective mission of participation and collaboration, it comes with being on the ground in our local communities. Here in America, we see in the African communities in America, we find ourselves still in the American ghettos, those who claim to have experienced a dramatic, long, and drawn-out process of Holocaust. We find that no Holocaust has been more long-standing, has been more brutal, has produced more slaves, has produced more house niggers, and those who are affected by the criminally insidious behavior of the white man. Understand, those who are tapped into the frequency here tonight, you're finding yourselves being or listening in to the frequencies of black nationalism. You're finding yourselves listening in to the frequencies of Pan-Africanism. You're finding yourselves listening into the frequency of the freedom fighter. We encourage you. We inspire you. We empower you. We have this platform here in the new Black Panther Party that is a strong platform for those who choose to join in on our collective work and responsibility. Clear for the directions of those who are to join the new Black Panther Party for self-defense tonight, when all you have to do is visit our national website at www.nbpp.org and join the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. You all will become the beneficiary of a great work done for 32 years, three decades long. War after war, this battle for our freedom and liberation, city after city and county after county and parish after parish, crime after crime and crime of ethnic cleansing and genocide after crime of ethnic cleansing and genocide. There is no formation today that has stood the test of time and is standing the test of time today. No replication, no duplication, no manipulation. Here in the new Black Panther Party for self-defense, there is no dissent, only a strong few of those brave black men and black women. We encourage you and inspire you and empower you to take that step, gain the tools necessary to bring your African skills and talents to the table, or original black man and black woman, those who are the original people of the earth. We have a duty now. We speak so highly of those who have come before us historically, hundreds, even thousands, even billions of years previous to the year that we're living in. But understand that we are living in a time that is far past those days, and we find ourselves not so far removed from the greatness that we once incurred. But as we are in this time, we recognize that as a people who were once previously, formerly enslaved, we are no longer enslaved, and the oppression that we face is an oppression that continues so far as the limit that we will allow. Therefore, then by saying that's in the only way that we can remove the oppression, genocide, and ethnic cleansing is that we stand up and do for self and go for self. It's the only way we know how to go. Those tools, the keys to liberation, the things to unlock the dormant minds of the black man and black woman, that we stand up and fight in defense of our life and our livelihood, that you would join the new Black Panther Party today. Take that step and do what is in the best interest of our black nation. Truly, there is no broadcast that you can tune into, and I only give you the report of the information and the live on the ground field reports in the cities across this nation who are affected in the hour of great calamity, in the days of purposeful and blatant confusion of the masses of our people. And why? Why is there so much confusion? Why is there so much misinformation and disinformation? Why is there an escalation of police murder and an escalation of the industrial complexes of the white man, from the school industrial complex to the prison industrial complex? And now we're seeing a rise in bioterrorism at the hands of the white man. It is because, family, it is because the white man's rule has come to an end. We look around, we'll be shocked, or maybe even caught off guard and not noticing. Some of us, you may find it farce to believe. What we're saying is that this is the fall of the white man's world. It is the end of the world as we have become to know it, as it has existed in our lifetime. That does not mean that the world will implode or explode, or chunks of the moon will fall to the ground in a burning amber, or that the sun will crack in the light that splits the day and night will be moved or stopped in any way. When we say the fall of the white man's world, the end of the world as we have become to know it, does not mean that the systems of nature that are bound by to the will of the almighty, wise God, creator, doesn't mean that that will stop. It doesn't mean that the processions of time will stop or halt in any way. It doesn't mean that the seasons or the equinoxes will split or stop. It doesn't move the equator. It doesn't move mountains. No, it means that the wicked, strange, subversive, perverted, sabotage-filled, criminal enterprise mentality, strategy, and construct of the wicked European white man, the devil, the living devil, has come to an end. America is coming to an end. The American politics have been exposed all over the world, specifically here in America. The COVID-19 did not stop pigs from killing black people in the street. It didn't stop the pigs from killing black folks in the street. When you go into the stores now here in America and all over the world, they're telling you to use social distancing. But there is no social distancing that is used when a pig rolls up on our brothers and sisters and murders them in cold blood, being the judge, jury, and executioner on the concrete jungles in the battlefield of America. We're seeing no social distancing. We're seeing an escalation of police murder. And what we know, not what we think, that the same pigs who have been murdering our beautiful black people come from a legacy, come from a construct of the most wicked gang in America, the most subversive and dangerous gang in America. The masters of Klan terrorism are the police. Don't get it twisted. Ain't no such thing as a good pig. Doesn't matter if the pig is a cracker or the pig is an old house nigger. There is no difference between a black pig and a white pig and ain't no good pig, because the nature of the pig is to be the slave catcher. We're telling you, brothers and sisters, the nature of the pig is to hunt down the black man and black woman, and it comes from the institution of chattel slavery when we seen the constant murder day in and day out of our children being murdered on the cotton plantations and the sugarcane plantations here in America and Jamaica and Haiti and all over the world, in the Congo of the wicked cracker devil Leopold, who murdered black people and cut their hands off for rubber. We don't forget these things, and we find that these same goddamn cracker pigs are coming from the institution of chattel slavery. When we gain the strength and the dignity and integrity and bravery and courage to escape from the wicked cattle chain by neck, by ankle, by wrist, and mouth gagged and tied for the wicked plantations of seeing our sons be raped by white men and our daughters being raped the same, when we began to organize ourselves and that we would move off of these plantations by any means necessary, they would send some old cold caged beast cracker, some old cracker, some stinking cracker on a horse, and they would go and look for the so-called slaves who escaped the plantation, not to reconcile, not to give him or her or them their freedom papers, no family, not at all. These crackers, they were sent to take us back to the plantation. It is all the same today. How do we say that? When we see our youth today fighting and fighting for some type of recognition of self in the streets of America, there is a war. There is a constant violent, domestically abusive relationship between black folks and white folks, where white folks kill black folks in pig uniform, in blue jeans, in a damn white shirt. It makes no difference if the cracker is a pig, or the cracker is a judge, or the cracker is a lawyer, or if the cracker is a janitor. It makes no difference. The killing of black people is all the same. We shouldn't get it twisted at all. Understanding the very nature of this beast allows for us to understand what we can do to ease the plight of oppression that is so heavy in its weight on the backs of our people. And when you call into this broadcast, for some of us, it may be a point of remembrance. It may be a culture shock. It may seem as though you're being dipped in a damn pool of ice water. It is cold. The way the truth is, it's cold. It's cold to know if you didn't know that these goddamn no good, down low, dirty bastards have always killed black children. And with the introduction in the institution of the industrial complexes of this nation, and you look at the prison industrial complex, it is no different than the other complex. We cannot trust any element of this government and any element of the American military and the police and the pig make up the American military. Some, if this is your first night listening in, you may be saying, oh, what they say was right. The new Black Panther Party don't like police. You goddamn right we can't stand these pigs. Not for no reason. The constant murder and execution of black men and black women and black children in the streets of America. The qualified immunity that these pigs get, they never spend a day in jail. But if you so much as make a move to try to remove your family from impoverished conditions, even if the move is a beneficial, or it does not go to the survival of black people, the things that we do in our communities, these American ghettos, have been put there by the crackers. So we say it's not the heroin, it's not the weed, it's not the liquor, it's not the tobacco, it ain't the crack, it's the cracker. It ain't the crack, it's the damn cracker. The cracker put the crack in the community. And all of the other devices of ethnic self-genocide have been put in our communities. This COVID-19, this so-called American dream, and the motherfucking M16 have been brought to the black community by the cave beast and the cave bitch. This is what is happening. This is the condition. This is the constant relationship. If you want us to sweeten it down or cool it down, it ain't going to happen. No, the intensity is raising every day. The critical nature of our situation is changing and rising and escalating every day. And if we slow up or take a break or back off or cool down, or maybe we don't talk so mean to your cracker master, you feel in some way that you have a position or some kind of safety in America, you're being fooled. Because many of us are being fooled, we find ourselves sitting in the death institution of America, from the elementary school all the way up to going into the nurses or the CVS or the Walgreens or the Walmart or the urgent care or the hospital, and letting some strange person who you do not know inject you with a lethal toxin which you have no idea what it is, and then for that toxin to infect you with the same virus that it is proposed to stop the replication of, the COVID-19 virus, the germ of the SARS-CoV-2, and the COVID-19 vaccine go hand in hand as weapons of biological terrorism. That's what it is. It's biological warfare. That's what it is. And for us to believe that America has changed because of the COVID-19, we're inclined to believe that many times our beloved brothers and sisters, that we get change confused with escalation. We shouldn't do that, because you'll find yourself more confused. As our great ancestor, Dr. Francis Crutch Wilson, teaches us, is when you do not understand so-called white supremacy, everything makes no sense. Everything is more confusing. We understand it when we find ourselves constantly bombarded with the white man's wicked, demonic, sick, and perverted propaganda, paid for and financed by the same corporations who lobby for higher prison sentences, huh? CBS, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, C-SPAN. Did I say Fox? CNN, all these devils, their corporations lobby for higher prison sentences so that they may have more, quote, unquote, so-called crime to report on. When in fact, the crimes that are being committed by the most efficient criminal, the master of criminology, the white man, who is the largest, most efficient criminal on the planet Earth, and has in many ways, in many forms, mastered the art of criminal and criminalization. Since we live in a criminal enterprise. No, we live in a mafia enterprise. No, we live in a terrorist regime. And it is the fear of house niggas and black politicians who know that we are living under the rule of a mafia family, under mafia dons, like Joe Biden. He is a mafia don. He is a criminal. You cannot outsell crack more than Biden and Clinton. Biden and Clinton, the CIA, the DEA have sold more crack and killed more black folks than any of us can ever imagine to do. You cannot out-pimp, out-sell, out-crook the crooked devil. Don't try. We are left alone on our own. We are righteous people. The unrighteous things that we do come from being literally infected. Just being in this nation infects us with a criminal mentality. We are not thugs, gangsters. That ain't us. We are those of the descendants of the rulers of the empires of the world. And still the white man cannot reach the heights and lengths and depths of the empires that once spanned the globe. They cannot do it. And as much as they attempt to do so, they find themselves in the year 2021 falling and collapsing and descending into moral decadency, descending into further bloodshed and civil war. And the scientists ask why. It is because the mistreatment of black people. It is because the deliberate killing of black people. It is because we have been singled out as a nationality and a ethnic group of those who are targeted for genocide. It has been the aim of America to destroy our nation, our children, in hope to destroy any kind of future of a nation, of a sovereign people who stand on their own and are able to provide for themselves. Since we have been in this nation, there has been constant killing of members of our nation. This is so. The killing is coming from the pigs. It's coming from the private white citizens. It's coming from the damn Arabs. It's coming from all of those who come here who do not have the same history that we have here, who come here on a high horse, who are told by the cracker white man or the house nigga who gives them their immigration status to stay away from black people. They are told that our black boys on the streets are thugs and not to allow for their children to congregate without. And that is okay because we don't want your damn children around us. But what are we saying? We're saying that the killing of our people, it runs deep and it is deeply seated and rooted in the history of America, its strategies and processes of governmental structure, and its structure in general of the socioeconomic exploitation of black people leads us into live in a constant state of an impoverished condition. We have in our community food deserts where we are not able to gain access to good food. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us that if you have a lot of money, he says, that you are able to buy a lot of food, he says. But he says that the food is poison and it is not real food. And when we do that, it infects our health and it kills us one way or another because we find ourselves wrapped up in the wicked grip vices of the public health services and the medical murder and apartheid in this nation. No one should be confused. The causing of serious bodily harm and the mental harm and mental attack to the mental side of the mental genocide to have us ripped from the root of our existence. Family, brothers and sisters, the first strategy used against the African was not to grab the African by the hair. It was not to grab the African by the wrist and drag the African to the boat, bring the African across the Atlantic Ocean and enslave the African. No, in fact, that was not the beginning. No, the beginning began with the rerouting and rerouting and the ripping of the mind out of its core. We talked about cell reproduction. We talked about the nucleus. We talked about the center of all existence in the cell. And we look at it in a physical form of the outside of the body. And we recognize how important it is to have a cultural perspective. Our cultural perspective for the majority of our people is a cultural perspective that is rooted in a perverted, sick, twisted, demonic, European mythology, European historical aspect and perspective. We are not in many times unless we are in a constant striving for a constant knowledge of self. We find ourselves constantly miseducated. We find that the mental destruction, the mental genocide, the menticide of black people, it comes with the no good, down low, backwards teachings of the Easter. And some of us are still going to go when Easter comes and get some damn boiled eggs and put them inside of plastic. We're going to go hide them in a forest area, and we will take our children to celebrate the wicked procession of the Crackers Easter holiday. That is mental genocide. That's what it is to worship a white man who looks like a gay swim model, a white Jesus, white man with long, straight, brown hair and blue eyes who looks nothing like Jerome, nothing like Duran, nothing like Keith, does not look like Marcus. He don't look like Hakim. He don't look like Muhammad. No, a white cracker, some cracker, this cracker that you put on your wall, this cracker that is in the glass windows of a church, who is this cracker? The cracker was painted and manufactured as a mythological figure and was pushed onto the minds of the Africans, pushed onto the minds of the enslaved, and some of us, some of our children, sadly, they don't know who Marcus Garvey is. They never know who Malcolm X is. But if you show them a picture, old cracker white Jesus, they are able to identify. And some of us are so backwards and bent out of shape from the trauma, going through phases and stages of post-traumatic slave syndrome. Not only do we give the children an old cracker Jesus, but we also tell them that God is an old cracker with a beard in the cloud, watching everything you do, taking notes on you, looking at you. And then we tell the children that the cracker Jesus and the cracker God are unquestionable, impunable. You cannot question anything about them. But then you tell the children that God is all-knowing and Jesus is all-knowing. But then you tell the children to not ask any questions. And you don't even realize how much of a goddamn fool you sound like. And when the children rebel against your foolish, cowardice, punk-ass belief, and you're scared of the white man, so you choose to teach the children what have been taught to you, and you know it's not true. You know ain't no cracker Jesus gonna come out the ground, nigga. Ain't no, you can go to every cemetery from here to Mecca. You can go to every cemetery from here to Mecca. You can walk across the Great Wall of China, find you a cemetery, nigga. You will not see a white hand coming up out the ground, and you ain't going to see no cracker Jesus walking on the earth talking about bringing you salvation, because in reality, there have been no crackers ever in existence since the 6,000 years that they have been in existence who have ever sought to do anything for black people. So stop the bullshit and stop teaching the children the bullshit. You are destroying the chances that you may have to fall back into your knowledge of self. here we are coming into the month, and we won't spend too much time on this. We want to give information and keep continuing to update on this COVID-19. But goddamn it, somebody has to tell the truth. Since all these niggas is afraid to tell the truth, you don't want to let go of the crack of Jesus. You don't want to let go of the crack of Santa. Some of us 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 damn years old still waiting for Santa. This big, fat, white, nasty devil who is going to come down your chimney. Some niggas live in the project. What about them niggas? Is they going to get a Christmas gift? They live in the project. Ain't no damn chimneys in the project. So where the hell Santa gonna come? When is Santa gonna come? Santa might get his ass whipped. Walking through the damn hood with all them gifts. Ain't gonna be no Santa, because that cracker will get jumped walking through the wrong neighborhood with all that damn red on. If he walks through a crip neighborhood, he might get beat up. We are not trying to make a joke out of it, but what we're saying is absolutely true, family. There is no fat, white, nasty, pedophile Santa that's going to come bring your children no gift. You work all damn year, and now that it is the COVID-19, some of us ain't been working. So now what you going to do for the cracker Santa's cracker Christmas? Are you going to leverage off your livelihood? No, seriously. Are you going to leverage off your livelihood? Are you going to take out a title deed on your house or your car? Are you going to go get a paycheck payday loan to go and buy your children some damn falsified mythological damn Christmas gift and worship of some cracker Santa in a plastic tree with shiny balls dangling off of it? Will you do that? Oh, is this the year that we will come into the knowledge of self and stop worrying about some damn cracker Jesus and cracker Santa? We're far past that, family. And we believe that as we move on, you will find yourselves facing the same brunt of this damn beast when you push that bullshit onto our children. And many of us wonder why we get laughed out of the community of the black youth. They laugh your ass back into the church house. They laugh you back into the damn mosque. Because you are, how are you going to ask the children, the black children here in this country, have you heard the word? Nigga, what word? Hell yeah, we heard the word. We've been hearing the word for 12,000 damn years. We know what Jesus said. And some of you niggas, you don't say what Jesus said. You don't say what the Quran said. You say what best fits your views. No, we're saying that the constant mental assassination of the black cultural perspective is genocide. That's what we're saying. We're saying that causing conditions or creating systems or structures that attack the livelihood and everyday processes of black people is genocide. So what do we mean by that? Again, we go back to the prison industrial complex. The prison industrial complex is in all 50 states of America. The prison industrial complex is made up of different corporations who you use their products every single day. Let us remind you that Walmart, Target, IBM, Boeing, Mac, Makeup, Microsoft, Sony, these crackers ain't even in America. Look at this shit. These are some damn jacks. These are some damn chinks way over there in Asia. And they are lobbying on the stock market, in the exchange market. They are lobbying in the local district meetings for higher prison sentences for black men and black women. And because when we are locked away in what they call correctional facilities, we ought to stop using that silly-ass word. Ain't not a damn thing correct about the white man. And who the fuck gave this cracker the right to judge us? They cannot judge us. and their laws that they have created, it is hypocritical. Why is it hypocritical? Every law, not one, not some, not the local, all of them, every law on the penal code book of the white man was broken to establish this wicked nation. And every law on the penal code book, every constitutional amendment is broken every day to keep us in this condition. Therefore, we have no respect for the process. Fuck the white man's process. We said it. God damn it, it's the truth. You can continue to go back and forth with yourself and war with yourself, but we will not do that. Fuck the white man's system. We have no respect for the system or the process or the so-called due process of the law. And how can we, when black men are locked away in the prisons of America for years and decades for the same crime that the little crackers commit, and they get no time? And it is worse. Of course it is worse. Of course it is deeper. It is to continue the economic exploitation. And it is also therein to stop the reproduction of black men and black women. Because if a black woman is locked up in the prison with a bunch of black women, I don't know how well you understand science, but nigga, you got to know that a black woman and a black woman can't produce no damn child. So as long as she is in there, she is unable to produce fruit for our nation. Therefore, the prison industrial complex is in place to do as COVID-19 is attempting to do, as a depopulation tool against black people. Don't get it twisted. Black men who find themselves, well, let's rephrase that. We don't find ourselves locked up. No, none of our children, and I'm going to say this, none of our children are looking to be locked away in the hell cells of America. That is not. Our children are looking for self knowledge, self-preservation, self-productivity. And we find ourselves saying to our children, why they don't listen up? Why they don't want to listen up? I buy you this and I do that and blah, blah, blah. But God damn it, when all they see on television and propaganda-wise, on the media, whenever they see black men, see, these are things that we have to be honest about, because if we are not honest about these things, and we don't give a damn what you feel, okay? If we're talking about having strong, some of us don't give a shit, and that's fine. Go to hell with the white man at this point. That's fine. Nobody's going to keep beating folks over the head with this. Either get it or we're going to find ourselves getting lost. Real shit. Stop playing. Because this is not a time for games. We're in war. Stop playing. Stop being so fucking comfortable. Y'all know what we're saying is the truth. You know goddamn well that you do not see strong black men on TV. They put all of our black men in dresses, and they effeminize our black men. The only black men that we're seeing on television are in dresses, effeminized. Huh? You wonder where these things are coming from. And we never take our time to stop and look and see that it is mental genocide. God damn it, if we don't get a hold of a knowledge of self, we ain't going to get a hold of our generation like we want to do so bad. And you tell them they're so disrespectful. And this generation, they just don't listen. And when we were growing up, blah, blah, blah. Nigga, when you was growing up, wasn't no damn computers. Some of us. Wasn't no damn social media. Wasn't no damn COVID-19. Get your head out of your ass and realize the plight of the youth, of black youth in America is a constantly overtly and blatant escalating battle for the hearts and minds of our black youth to impose measures intended to prevent birth within a group as depopulation. It is a crime of genocide to transfer one people away from their people. Again, it is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It is a crime against humanity. When we do not understand these things, we find ourselves once again in the hour of confusion. And this hour, the dispensation of time that we live in, must be changed from confusion to comprehension. From 1957 to 1960, Equatorial Africa was the site of the first mass trials of an oral polio vaccine. The doctor of this mass vaccine campaign was a Polish Jew cracker and naturalized American virologist by the name of Dr. Kaprowski. He was the first to administer a live polio vaccine in 1951 to mentally disabled children from a New York State hospital and newborn babies of institutionalized New Jersey black women. This cracker, Dr. Kaprowski, he had planned previously to debut a version of his polio vaccine in a mass trial with children of Belfast, Northern Ireland. But in 1956, the Irish authorities forbade the trial due to the report of the weakened virus within the vaccine and how it was prone to mutate. Nonetheless, this cracker Jew, Kaprowski, proceeded to conduct his trial in the African colony of the Belgian Congo in 1957, and we talked about the old cracker devil, Leopold, along with Leopold and Otto von Bismarck, the Chancellor of Germany at the time, would call what we know today as the Berlin Conference. And during this conference, there was no black folks invited to the conference. Was no chiefs of the Congo tribes invited to the conference. Was no West African, no South African, no East African, no Central African. No niggas were allowed in the conference. Why wasn't no black folks allowed in the conference? Because Kaprowski proceeded to conduct his trials in the African colony of the Congo. The vaccination were called by drone. Rural Africans traveled to village assembly points to take the vaccine. They lined up to take a liquid vaccine that would be squirted into their mouths. Over the next 3 years, over 350,000 people, black folks, will be vaccinated. But two vaccines were used during the Kaprowski polio vaccination massacre and the act of biological terrorism, chemical and biological warfare. Two different vaccines were used. The liquid vaccine used on the Africans and a separate vaccine in a capsule form given exclusively to the crackers in the area that was labeled a significant variation. Would it be so far for us to believe that when black people go into these facilities to receive the vaccine shot, would it be so far for us to believe that they have a separate vaccine for black folks and a separate vaccine for the cracker? And we're sure that they're giving a vaccine for the black folks to the Latinos, to the brown folks, trying to kill them off too, right? That's what they do. Attacking the black and the brown. Would it be so far for us to believe that they are not doing the same today? God damn it. If some cracker Jew Kaprowski was able to do it in 1956, then you know some cracker or some Negro is able and is doing it today. But if you don't go in there and get the vaccine, that ain't nothing you got to worry about. That ain't shit you got to worry about. Because you ain't going to get it. Because you got your past immune. and you've been healing yourself with the natural, holistic, herbal remedies, the things that come from the earth. As we are the original people, we must have the organic plan to execute and all the things that we must execute for our livelihood and our immune-building purposes. That wasn't the only damn Jew. The goddamn cracker Jew and the cracker German and the cracker American and the cracker Swiss and the cracker all over the world, all these crackers. They have all used their wicked sciences to begin to try to manipulate the genealogy of black people, attacking the very makeup of your gene, attacking you down to the genome, down to the very molecular chemical processes of creation, trying to attack us from our genetic makeup. But that wasn't the only cracker Jew. You had another cracker Jew, Dr. Albert Sabin, a developer of an infamous oral vaccine himself, reported 3 years later in 1959 that a special test revealed that Kaprowski's vaccine used on the black folks contained an unidentified cell-killing simian or monkey virus, a virus which, till today, has never been identified but was exposed to more than 250,000 Africans in the Congo, Rwanda, and Burundi. This is the history of cracker Jews, cracker Germans, cracker Americans, and all other crackers taking their wicked scientific schemes of death plots to depopulation and genocide, putting them into a vial, attaching a syringe to and sticking it in black folks' arms, sometimes for, most times for. But it's not literally grabbing you by the arm and dragging you into the hospital. And understand something, family. Understand. You think that we're saying the things that we say for ill effect? Hell no. We're kept trying to get you to understand that this cracker, what he did yesterday, he will do it today, because the cracker Kaprowski, cracker Sabine, cracker Jew of yesterday is the same as a cracker Trump and cracker Biden, an old house Negro bed-winching Kamala Harris today. And you don't like it when we talk about your cracker God or your cracker or your nigga politician. That's why we the new Black Panther Party, because we don't give a shit about your cracker politicians and your nigga politicians. The truth is here, and these are the hours of the truth. Some of us need to reach out to some of these fool-ass Negroes we know and be disseminating this information. There is nothing that any white man or white woman can do now. The only thing that they can do is to continue to snitch on themselves, because you're seeing the whistleblowers come out. Yes, you are. You've seen the white lady, Judy Mockovitz. You've seen these crackers coming out one after the other after the other. They're trying to save their flat white asses from being persecuted and prosecuted in international criminal court because they are committing crimes against humanity. And these are the same crackers who benefit from the industrial complex of the pharmaceutical company. I don't think y'all hear us. Because judging by the questions that we are asking, which have been answered, judging by the actions that we take, I don't think y'all hear us. I mean, let us know something. Talk black to us. Let us know. At any time in this broadcast, you can press the number one. We'll put you live in the queue. Now, all of this that went down in the 50s, we would tell you that there was no real medical epidemiological follow-up to these trials. The vaccines were not approved for human use, and they were discontinued, so they said. We heard from Dr. Abdul Aleem Muhammad that these vaccines were not discontinued and that they still are being disseminated today. Who is disseminating these vaccines? Who is backing the dissemination of these vaccines? I mean, somebody's got to fund the damn science. Ain't no damn scientist. I don't give a damn what their evil plot is. It costs money to make a virus. It costs money to build a laboratory. It costs money to do research. Who is funding these damn devils? Where do you go to get the Tylenol and the Buterol and the Abuterol? Where do you go to get the drugs, the chemically induced drugs that throw off your chemical processes and destroy the organs in the body? Where do we go? It is another industrial complex. The white man calls them big pharma. These are little crackers, whose wealth is rooted in the attempted destruction of African civilization. The pharmaceutical industrial complex includes brand manufacturers. And an example of a brand manufacturer may be Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna. Some of these niggas are just saying the names and haven't taken out the time to look at the history of these goddamn criminal enterprises. Pfizer is a gang. Moderna is a gang. Johnson & Johnson, hell, how many commercials have you seen where they tell you that you can't put Johnson & Johnson on your personal area because it may give you genital cancer? So you're going to tell me that you won't put the baby powder on the ball, but you will put Johnson & Johnson shot in your blood and in your children's blood? Oh, we better get a grip. You won't trust the powder on your skin, but you will allow for them to go through the skin and into your veins. Somebody got to tell the truth. You're going to tell the truth. The Center for Disease Control, as well as those who fund the industrial complex of the pharmaceutical industry, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention here in the United States of America, the National Institute of Health of the NIH that keeps pushing cracker wicked beast Anthony Fauci in your face. And we'll hear a clip of some information on some things you probably ain't know about Anthony Fauci. You'll find out tonight. Did you know that 8 of the Fortune 20 companies on the pharmaceutical industrial complex are members of the Fortune 20? But oddly, none of them, out of 20 of them, none of them are drug manufacturers. Like we say, they are all corporations and financial institutions that are using their leverage to push drugs that will kill our people, and they are pushing the COVID-19 vaccine as one of those drugs. CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, Rite Aid, and Kroger combined for 80% of the market share when measured by pharmacists employed. These few institutions are those who are the most infamous in delivering and or being able to buy these chemically induced drugs over the counter. We find then that these chemically induced drugs destroy the liver and the kidney, like acetaminophen that you find in Tylenol. Yet still they pay to take it. And then when you talk about burdock root, mullein, and elderberry, and ginger, and garlic, and all the things that will heal you naturally, they tell you that that is medical misinformation. Who are you going to listen to? The old cracker Jew killer? Or are you going to listen to your brothers and sisters who are telling you the right information? It's up to you. It's up to you. In 1992, I mentioned the Center for Disease Control. They published in submission that the live virus vaccine that we talked about, the Koprowski and the Sabin vaccine, had become the dominant cause of polio in the United States. According to the Center for Disease Control, every case of polio in the United States since 1979 was caused by the polio vaccine. And that tells us then that the polio vaccine, the COVID vaccine, the same as the flu vaccine and other vaccines, we specifically zero in on this one, is something that will kill you if you take it. Simply put, we've gone deeper into the sciences, and we'll go deeper into the sciences in previous and in upcoming broadcasts, and we say simply to you, very frank and bluntly, If you take that shot, you run the risk of death. You have had, I ain't had the COVID, you run the risk of loss of life. But it's all up to you. What do? Under the American regime of medical apartheid, black super bodies were and still are the choice of experimental specimens for ambitious cracker doctors. It was no different during the polio vaccination mass scheme where the black people were targeted for inhumane experiments with this contaminated polio vaccine. Between 1960 and 1962, nearly 1,100 infants at the Cleveland Metropolitan General Hospital in Ohio were experimentally exposed to increasing large amounts of polio virus in the vaccines from the cracker Jews. While the researchers noted who got infected by the virus and from what dosages, they write that the majority of the babies were black from what they call lower socioeconomic groups. We get so tired of hearing this cracker on his news station talking about what we are most susceptible to. Didn't this fucking devil tell you in the beginning that they did not understand why black people and Africans weren't getting the COVID as much as other ethnicities? And then a few months later, when they were on the brink of releasing their vaccine, they scared the shit out of black folks and they told you, and some of you listen, that you were more susceptible to the COVID-19 because you was black. They told you that you were more susceptible to the COVID-19 because you was more susceptible to high blood pressure. Listen what they told you. They told you you were more susceptible to COVID-19 because you're more susceptible to diabetes. Then listen to what they told you, though. They told you you were more susceptible because you're more susceptible to high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Now, with that into consideration, how in the fuck that we become so susceptible to all of this shit? How? Because we don't have that same problem on the continent. So what is the problem here? That is because we have been fed genetically modified foods. We have been eating pork, swine with worms. We have been eating guts and all kind of other things. We have been constantly bombarded with stress and murder and civil war within the black community, and it causes stress proteins and free radicals that attack the immune system and cause for the body to develop this high cholesterol, to develop this heart condition, to develop the diabetes. So don't tell us what we are more susceptible to when these are the people who subjected you to it. But some of you listen, because you said your grandmama had diabetes, so I'm going to get COVID. I'm going to go and take this shot. You were foolish as hell. Grandmama got diabetes because grandmama was in the white man's world and lived under the yoke of the white man. She did not get diabetes because she's black. Stop letting these people fool you. Oh, I got a little bit of headache. I think it might be COVID. Some of you have not been sick in years, but you still went and took the damn shot. And then, brothers and sisters, it's even more sick when we go onto social media and you see these niggas on Facebook and they got the damn banner around their picture talking about, I took my vaccine. I tell you, man, I just want to reach in the picture and slap the shit out of whoever it is in that picture. That's what I want to do. Slap some sense into ourselves. I mean, do it yourself. Ain't got to be no black on black. We ain't for that lifestyle. We're against that. But it's got to be some self on black or some black on self if you find yourself getting a little confused, getting a little woozy. If it's too much, take a step back, turn to the side, and smack yourself into reality. So that you will see that what we're saying to you is absolutely true. Right, family? And it could be metaphorical as well. Sometimes us receiving information is a slap, and we mean by a slap, a shot to the system. Come back to reality, black people. You see, Roger, Roger, Earth to black folks. We are in war. Ain't no time to play around with this damn white man and quit listening to all these damn lies. So we continue to expose these beasts. We continue to expose the white man for all the crimes against humanity. But what is all this exposition if we don't move on it? What is all this exposition if we don't move on it? Don't you let these damn devils stick you. Some of us, we find ourselves in a crosshair. Yes, we are. Because when the COVID broke, they told you that you was essential. And they didn't want you to go home. They still wanted you to wash their dishes and mop their floors. Right? And clean their little asses. You see? That's what they still wanted you to do. And while you mopped their floors and cleaned their toilets and cleaned their little white asses, they told you you was essential. And they wanted you to stay on the plantation. And then when the COVID broke, they told you, nigga, you ain't essential and you ain't got that vaccine, but take your black ass home unless you're going to take that vaccine. And some of us are in the crosshairs because we are willing to risk our lives for a job that every day before the COVID, you talked about how much you hated the damn job, how much you hate your cracker-ass manager, how much you hate your house nigga manager, how much you hate getting up so early, taking the kids to the school, then taking yourself to work, coming back, taking the kids. All you talked about was how you couldn't wait for something to happen to get you off of that site. But now some of us are willing to risk our lives and the lives of our children to go back into the same plantation job that we hate. And while we are willing to risk our lives and take the chance that you let these people stick you with this shit and you fall off and die some damn way. You don't like it when we come very directly like this, but it's the only way we know to go. Senior Catholic leaders in the United States and Canada, along with other anti-abortion groups, are raising ethical objections to promising COVID-19 vaccine candidates that are manufactured using cells derived from human fetuses electively aborted decades ago. Inside of the vaccine that you are going to allow for them to stick into you, and we're telling you to do not do that, there is baby fetuses in the vaccine, again, as senior Catholic leaders in the United States and Canada, along with other anti-abortion groups, are raising ethical objection about. Furthermore, FDA and senior White House officials also in the know about this. In Canada, the health ministry has promised to respond to the letter of Trudeau, executive director and the executive director of the Canadian Catholic Bioethics Institute, and lead signatory on the letter itself, talks about how the cells derived from elective abortions have been used since the 1960s. So it's not new. It's not new that the white man is putting dead, decades-long frozen dead baby cells in your bloodstream. It's been going on since the 60s. It says since the 60s. To manufacture vaccines, including current vaccines against rubella, chickenpox, hepatitis A, and shingles. They have also been used to make approved drugs against diseases including hemophilia, rheumatoid arthritis, and cystic fibrosis. Now, research groups around the world are working to develop more than 138 candidate vaccines against COVID-19, and they all have the fetuses in them. COVID-19 vaccines use one of two fetal cell lines. One is called ATK-293, a kidney cell line widely used in research and industry that comes from a fetus aborted in 1972. Some of us wasn't nowhere even around during 1972. Some of us just came during the 90s. Some of us only been here since 2000. They are injecting a dead baby in you from 1972. But that's cool. The white man told you that the virus is going to cure you or is going to stop you from getting COVID-19. No, he didn't. Find one article. Find one statement. And we challenge you. Bring it to this box. He never told you that shit. You assume. A proprietary cell line owned by Janssen, which is the same cell that we talked about, the ATK, of the subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson, developed from retinal cells of an 18-week-old fetus aborted in 1985. You can see since the 80s, Johnson & Johnson has been buying fetal cells. Well, they haven't been buying fetuses to put inside the damn powder. What else does Johnson & Johnson make? So I wouldn't buy no Johnson & Johnson product. Hell, if there's cancer-causing material in the powder, what the hell you think they putting in the baby soap? Nonetheless, family, if we continue to believe the lies of this wicked government, we'll find ourselves catching the same hell. But see, there are many of us who do not believe this. And those of you tuned in online tonight, you don't believe it. But we are trying to influence you to tell those around you and your brothers and sisters, your family, your mother, your family, your grandmother, your grandfather, all of those, friends, loved ones, co-workers, let them know. Let them know what is in this vaccine. Let them know the history of the cracker Jew forced inoculation of black people. When the American government began to come out about the origin of the COVID-19, the Chinese government and the American government began to have a war of words in the media. And this is the last point that I want to make, and then we want to get into some clips tonight on this same topic. But I want to make this point, Sam. At any point, you can press number one, and we'll put you live in the discussion. But I want to say this, family. One more important point, brothers and sisters. When the Chinese government came out, the American government, they said they was going to launch an investigation probe into China, into the origin of the COVID-19. China's response, they told the cracker, you're not coming over here launching shit. And they said that if you want to know where the COVID-19 comes from, they told America to look no further than Fort Detrick in Maryland, the United States Army Institute of Research of Infectious Disease. Well, let's look at this Army Research Institute of Infectious Disease throughout history. Let's take this time to do that. A 1975 Senate investigation revealed that the Special Operations Division at Fort Detrick supplied biological materials for several planned attacks, none of which were successful. In 1960, the CIA's main contact with the Special Operations Division of Fort Detrick, Sidney Gosselaar, carried a tube of toxin-laced toothpaste into Africa in a plot to kill Congolese leader Patrice Lumumba. But the CIA station chief pitched the poison into a river, as a congressional investigation later revealed, once he found that the attempted assassination would not be successful. Here in this same institution that China is telling America to look at, that America has continued to shut down and reopen up again and shut down and reopen up again, the United States Institute of Infectious Disease at Fort Detrick, Maryland, records suggest that the Special Operations Division at Fort Detrick also supplied drugs for CIA schemes to kill a sickened Cuban leader, Fidel Castro, and that it came up with the poison handkerchief that the agency rolled named Health Alteration Committee sent to Iraqi Prime Minister Abdul Karim Qasim in 1963. But he lived. Army Special Forces, also as the Special Operations Division at Fort Detrick, to design biological assassination weapons. Fort Detrick engineers delivered 5 devices, including a dart gun, collectively known as the Big Five. But records suggest that what Special Forces did with the weapons are classified, says an archivist at Fort Bragg. God damn it. Fort Detrick is guilty of carrying out plots to assassinate black and brown leaders around the planet. Why the fuck would you trust these people to give you any information? And when China or another nation is telling you to look at Fort Detrick, we're not siding with China. China is just as guilty as America. China is guilty with giving fake rights to the Indians and the Nigerians. China is guilty with illegally mining bauxite in Jamaica and killing black folks with red dust and spreading in Jamaica in the northeastern region of cockpit country. China is guilty of biological warfare against Africans long before the COVID-19. We ain't gonna fuck about the Chinese. We are not siding with these people. What we are saying is that to have them saying look at Fort Detrick, we ought to look at it. And the work, if the work sounds sinister today, understand that these works have been done at Fort Detrick and are being done today. And we are for sure that Fort Detrick had its part in the making of this COVID-19. A gun or a bomb leaves no doubt that a deliberate attack has occurred. But if someone is stricken with a sudden fatal illness or an epidemic slashes across the city or the world, there is no way of knowing whether anyone attacked or much less who. That was the key conclusion of the Pentagon's Committee on Biological Warfare in a secret October 1948 report on covert biological warfare. And I hope that those who are joining us in here tonight are taking notes. We're giving a lot of information. The U.S. Army and Intelligence Departments have long practiced secrecy and deception, which run counter to principles of transparency and authenticity. Right? They have consistently dodged and ditched the Biological Weapons Convention, the BWC, restrictions and public scrutiny. That has been going on now for 20 years. For years in total secrecy, these crackers at Fort Detrick and in the United States government have practiced the art of bioterrorism, the designed deadly silent biological dart gun, as we talked about, and hid them in fountain pens and walking sticks. They crunched lethal bacteria into suit buttons that could be worn unnoticed across the border. They rigged light fixtures and car tailpipes to let loose an invisible spray of anthrax. And we all remember the anthrax scare. They practiced germ attacks in the airport on the New York subway, tracking air currents and calculating the potential death toll. But they weren't a band of al-Qaeda's or a band of these people who they say are enemies. They are those who work the bio laboratory of the Laboratory of the United States Army of Infectious Disease at Fort Detrick, Maryland. Family. We've been saying here tonight, it is our purpose every night to bring you truth, facts, and proof. Right? That is our purpose. We bring these things to you because we recognize the importance of clear information at a time of constant confusion. There's more information that we have to give and even more ways that we can participate and contribute in our collective work responsibility, our effort, and our liberation movement. You can join the new Black Panther Party by visiting our national website, www.mbpp.org. You can donate to the efforts of this broadcast, the efforts of our new Black Panther Party, Black Cross, On the Ground, Disaster Relief, Humanitarian Arm, our emergency response team, by visiting our website, mbppblackcross.com. As we move into the last quarter of this broadcast, we have some critical information to play for you here tonight. We have some critical information on the history of Dr. Anthony Fauci. It comes from Ms. Kim Iverson, who has a show. Someone shared a clip on Instagram, and our national chairwoman sent the clip to me. We will play that clip tonight. We'll also review Dr. Christina Park's statement at the Michigan congressional hearing on House Bill 4471. We'll say to all of our people, there's any information that you missed on this broadcast or that you want to go back and listen to any of the information that we gave, you can check this broadcast out again at blogtalkradio.com/the New Black Panther Party for self-defense. So first we will hear from the Miss Kim Iverson, who is going to talk about some things that we may not be aware of on Dr. Anthony Fauci, that it is as it relates to the HIV and AIDS epidemic. And then we will hear a review of Dr. Christina Park as we close out this broadcast, her Michigan congressional statement on House Bill 4471. You have been live here on New Black Panther Party Radio, powered by the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, under our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. We love brothers and sisters. You've been live with your host tonight, Brother Kathir Sadiq, National Chief of Staff. We thank you, and we are humbled to continue to give you this broadcast every night. This is your broadcast. Listen here every night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 Pacific. Call in 718-664-6398. Put the word out. Let everybody know that we're broadcasting here every night. These are the truth hours of the Black Nation here on day 565 on New Black Panther Party Radio. Let's get into this key information as we move into the latter parts of our broadcast. Let's hear from the Miss Kim Iverson. She's going to key us in on some things that many of us may not know about this cracker devil, Anthony Fauci. Check it out, family. All right. Now, it looks like we're having some issues. It could be some interference through Blog Talk. I don't know if y'all can hear me. 1 second. Yeah, we're having some interference. It looks like it's coming from Blog Talk. But let me troubleshoot just real quick because we're going to give this information. Y'all know nothing's going to stop this broadcast. Let me drop this on you. Okay, I see that y'all can hear me. But it's just Blog Talk causing some trouble. Again, you know, we know that we're going to face these things. We're giving some very, very critical information. So these are things that we expect. But we do have our interface open on multiple screens. So, that, you know, these are things they try. But we are far more prepared, you know, than they, give us credit for being so. Let me just scroll down to this clip for you, family. Again, this is a Miss Kim Iverson. She produced this video, like a medical journalism show, similar to the ones that we played before. Our national chairwoman sent me the information. I listened to it. She's going to key us in on some very critical things that we may have not known about Dr. Anthony Fauci, things that we said, but, you know, maybe new to some of us, and for some of us, it just, man, didn't know. You know what I'm saying? So let's get into this clip. Check it out.
Otherwise healthy gay men in Los Angeles who'd come down with PCP, a type of pneumonia typically caused by a suppressed immune system. Doctors and scientists were baffled by the novel disease. They had no idea what was causing these otherwise young, healthy men to become gravely ill. One such scientist who took an interest in researching the novel disease was Anthony Fauci. At the time, the first reports of the illness, Fauci was working his way up in the bureaucracy of the NIH. At the time, Fauci was working on other things, but he was so intrigued by the novel disease that he began dedicating much of his time to it. In 1984, Anthony Fauci was named the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, a title he still holds to this day, and public panic regarding AIDS, which had finally been given a name the year before, had firmly taken over the nation. Public panic intensified, partly because of comments made by Fauci regarding transmission of the virus. In the early 80s, the public believed AIDS was a sexually transmitted disease that only affected gay men. But after the discovery of an infant being diagnosed with the virus, Fauci made comments in the Journal of the American Medical Association claiming the possibility that routine close contact, as within a family household, could spread the disease. This news immediately set off alarm bells as mainstream news outlets such as AP and the New York Times began reporting on household transmission of AIDS. ABC News sat down with Fauci regarding this new alarming development.
Given the the long incubation period of this disease, we may be starting to see, as we're seeing virtually as the months go by, other groups that can be involved. And seeing it in children is really quite disturbing.
When you say other close contact, give me some examples.
Well, for example, if the close contact of a child is a household contact, perhaps there will be a certain number of cases of individuals who are just living with and in close contact with someone with AIDS or at risk of AIDS who does not necessarily have to have intimate sexual contact or share a needle, but just the ordinary close contact that one sees in normal interpersonal relationships. Now, that may be far-fetched in the sense that there have been no cases recognized as yet in which individuals have had merely casual contact, close albeit, with an individual with AIDS who, for example, have gotten AIDS. For example, there have been no cases yet reported of hospital personnel who have fairly close contact with patients with AIDS. There have been no case reports of them getting AIDS. But the jury is still out on that because the situation is constantly evolving and the incubation period is such as so long. As you know, it's a mean of about 14 months, ranging from 6 to 18 months. So what medical researchers and public health service officials will be are concerned with is what we felt were the confines of transmissibility now going to be loosening up and broadening up so that something less than truly intimate contact can give transmission of this disease.
Well, of course, we now know that the infant contracted the virus through their mother's womb, but the damage had been done. Public panic had intensified, and people were fearing they could get AIDS from sharing a toilet seat or even from shaking hands. People living with AIDS were being alienated and ostracized from their jobs, homes, communities, and gay men in particular were heavily stigmatized. On the treatment front, Fauci and the team of scientists at the NIH began frantically working on a vaccine, believing that would be the way to end the AIDS epidemic. Confident in their work, Health and Human Services Secretary Margaret Heckler declared in 1984 that an AIDS vaccine would be ready for testing within 2 years. But banking on a vaccine proved to be harder than it seemed. 2 years passed, and there wasn't one even ready for testing. The public was losing patience. Pharmaceutical companies were also racing towards a treatment for AIDS, realizing the incredible potential for profits. In 1987, one such company was Burroughs Wellcome, a British drug company who showed in a test tube that their failed cancer drug, AZT, could be repurposed to treat AIDS. Limited studies were done, long-term side effects were unknown, but in record speed, in less than 4 months, the FDA approved the drug as a treatment, claiming the benefits outweigh the risks. One of the parameters of the speedy approval process was for the drug company to bring back follow-up data in 2 years. Burroughs Wellcome agreed, but of course, since the drug was already approved, they never really needed the follow-up, and so they didn't. Celia Farber did incredible reporting on the approval, use, and dangers of AZT for Spin Magazine in the late 80s in her article titled Sins of Omission. She writes, quote, "The majority of those in the AIDS-afflicted and medical communities held the drug up as the first breakthrough on AIDS. For better or worse, AZT had been approved faster than any drug in FDA history, and activists considered it a victory. The price paid for the victory, however, was that almost all government drug trials from then on focused on AZT, while over 100 other promising drugs were left uninvestigated." Now, the expensive drug made Burroughs Wellcome record profits, and at the time, it was the most expensive drug ever marketed. But people were desperate. They would do anything to get their lives back. Despite numerous doctors raising concerns about the toxicity of the drug, some even saying that it was doing the very opposite of what it claimed to do, that it was actually shortening the lives of their patients, Fauci and other health officials disagreed. In 1989, Fauci began to promote the drug, not only for critically ill AIDS patients, but for anyone who tested positive for HIV, including those asymptomatic who showed no signs of disease. Those patients included hospital workers, pregnant women, and even children. Doctors were stunned. The data the NIH released was limited, but nonetheless, the NIH had gone all in on AZT. Despite it becoming clearer and clearer that AZT was toxic, caused liver damage, and destroyed white blood cells, the drug continued to be used for several years after, while calls from activists and doctors to study any other possible treatments went ignored. One such treatment that was ignored was Bactrim. PCP was the leading killer in AIDS patients, and many doctors were prescribing the inexpensive antibiotic as a prophylaxis to prevent AIDS victims from developing the rare pneumonia. There was evidence that the antibiotic should be used as a prophylaxis whenever the reoccurrence rate of PCP for a given condition was over 15%. The reoccurrence rate of PCP in HIV-positive patients was over 60%. Despite the science, Dr. Fauci declined to conduct a clinical trial. Doctors and advocates continued to push for its use, and finally, a couple years later, it was adopted after thousands of patients had already died. As Fauci and the NIH focused on vaccines and AZT for the treatment of AIDS, hundreds of drugs went unstudied, many of which were demonized. In fact, the movie Dallas Buyers Club is about treatments AIDS patients desperately sought after because of the inability to access them legally. Many doctors advocated that the best way to treat patients was to focus on mitigating the severity of the ailments that would ultimately kill them rather than trying to eradicate AIDS altogether, that the virus mutates too quickly to waste all resources and time on a vaccine or other preventative, that everything should be studied, all avenues explored, and all options should remain on the table. But unfortunately, that's not exactly how the AIDS epidemic was handled. Big Pharma got their payday in AZT. Millions of dollars allocated by Congress went to vaccine research, which never produced anything effective. And meanwhile, along the way, hundreds of drugs and treatment options went unexplored. And we still don't have a cure for HIV. The epidemic never went away like people hoped. We do, however, have effective treatments that help people live a good long life with the virus. There were a lot of mistakes made along the way, a lot of lessons that could have been learned. But after looking into the history of the AIDS epidemic, it's curious if we've actually learned any. Here we are today with a pandemic that is causing mass hysteria. Like the days of people demonizing gay men as the culprits behind the epidemic, we have the media demonizing the unvaccinated as the root cause for why this virus just won't go away. Many hoped the vaccine would stop the spread and eradicate the virus, but like AIDS, the virus seems to mutate too quickly. The same way Fauci discouraged and even prevented inexpensive treatments from being talked about, researched, and prescribed back then is the same thing that is happening today. And in the end, with the lack of a promising cure and a realization that the virus is likely here with us to stay, many who fear exposure to HIV have chosen to wear a condom to protect themselves, just like those who fear exposure to COVID are choosing to wear a mask. In reality, our government officials should be working on absolutely everything from every angle to attack this virus, from vaccine developments and PPE gear to treatments, protocols, vitamins, health routines, and repurposing other drugs. They should be using our tax dollars to study inexpensive treatments that Big Pharma has zero interest in studying because they can't make billions off of them. And yes, Big Pharma should also continue to try and find a cure or a vaccine. Everything should be tried. Nothing should be spared. Nothing should be demonized. Everything should be studied. But just like what happened during the AIDS epidemic, that just doesn't seem to be happening.
Hello, my name is Dr. Christina Parks. I received my PhD in cellular and molecular biology right here in the state of Michigan from University of Michigan Medical School. And so I'm very well versed in the science of both these mRNA gene therapy vaccines, this kind of technology, as well as what a vaccine is designed to do in the body, what it can do, what it can't do, and the fact that this is extremely complex science that has been oversimplified in the media to basically take away our freedom of choice. What I want to address today in this limited time is the fact that vaccine requirements and mandates are based on the faulty assumption that the vaccines in question prevent transmission of the pathogen, right? Does the vaccine for DTaP prevent transmission? No. Does the vaccine for flu prevent transmission? No. Do the vaccines for COVID prevent transmission? No. In fact, they were never designed to do that. All right, so you're asking, what about this 95% effectiveness? If you look at those clinical trials, they do not say that they prevent transmission. They expressly say that they're measuring whether they attenuate symptoms. So they're 95% effective based on their clinical trials at attenuating symptoms for the first variant, which is essentially gone in our population. Right now, the predominant variant is the Delta. And CDC Director Walensky basically said that these vaccines have no ability to prevent infection by and transmission of the Delta variant. So our policy needs not to be built on the hope of what we think something we want it to do, but what the data actually tell us. So do the vaccines prevent the virus from infecting and replicating in the nose and nasopharynx? No. They've only been shown to prevent that replication in the lungs. They're different. The mucosa is very different than the lungs. It's very different than the blood. You inject it to the blood. You make antibodies in your blood. The virus isn't infecting your blood. It's infecting your mucosa, and you don't produce any IgA to neutralize it. In fact, recent studies have shown that the vaccinated, especially with the Delta variant, and the unvaccinated have similar amounts of virus in their nose and throat. In Barnstable, Massachusetts, the CDC tracked an outbreak of 469 cases of COVID. 74% occurred in fully vaccinated, and 4 out of 5 of those hospitalized were vaccinated. All right, so maybe they are mandating this because they just didn't know with the COVID. And so my main complaint is with our health agencies and the CDC, who basically know better and are misleading the public. So let's look at DTaP, which the scientists and the CDC have known since 2014 that the acellular pertussis vaccine does not prevent people from getting infected with the pertussis bacteria and passing it to others. In fact, it was never designed to do that. The vaccine was designed to neutralize the pertussis toxin. Pertussis, we know it as whooping cough. It can be fatal for children under 6 months. So neutralizing this toxin saves lives, all right? I'm not going to debate that. But what it doesn't do is neutralize the bacteria. So what happens is fully vaccinated children go to daycare, they pick up that bacteria, and they come home and they give it to their newborn brother or sister. They get deathly ill, and they go to the hospital. Hopefully, our medical professionals are able to save them. But who do they blame? Now the CDC is blaming anti-vaxxers for the limitations of this vaccine design. I suggest that they be transparent and tell parents that although it is preventing severe disease in their children, it is not preventing transmission because we have created a whole class of asymptomatic pertussis carriers who are increasing the disease. Now, the old DTP vaccine that many of you who are my age or older got did prevent transmission. When we switched to the safer acellular version, they knew that it was never designed to prevent transmission. It was safer, it had less adverse events, but pertussis cases have gone through the roof. There's a resurgence in pertussis because of the design of the vaccine, and the vaccinologists know this. They're trying to address it, and so we cannot mandate that something that does not prevent transmission. All right, what about the flu vaccine? Well, they have shown that basically there's no difference, there's no statistical difference if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, whether you get the flu or not. But it's even worse because although that first year it is somewhat effective, it's about 65% effective at preventing symptoms in you, after that it actually has negative efficacy. And I want to address this because it's very important. Vaccines are made to a specific variant. And when that variant mutates, the vaccine no longer recognizes it. And so it's like you're seeing a completely new virus. And because that's so, you actually get more severe symptoms when you're vaccinated against one variant, and then it mutates, and then your body sees the other variant. So there's the potential, and the science shows that, in fact, with the flu, if you get vaccinated in multiple years, you are more likely to get severe disease, you are more likely to have more viral replication, and you are more likely to be hospitalized, both in adults and in children. We are seeing the same thing in COVID with the Delta variant. And so we are mandating that people get a vaccine that could actually make them more sick when they're exposed to the virus. In fact, this week, a paper came out, and what it showed is that with this Delta variant, when you're vaccinated, your body makes antibodies that are supposed to neutralize the virus. But they were supposed to neutralize the old variant. When they see this new variant, what they're doing is they're actually, the antibodies are taking the virus and helping it infect the cells. All right, that science was just published this week. We need to be looking at the science, and we need our policy to reflect the science, and we also need it to reflect our rights. Okay. And so as a PhD who knows the science, I'm in the category of the most vaccine-hesitant group. Yes, PhDs are the most vaccine-hesitant, followed by people who have less than a high school degree because they know what they don't know and they don't trust their government. And many people, the other group that is very vaccine hesitant, are African Americans. 70% of African Americans have not taken this vaccine. Why? Because they don't trust their government. Do they have reason not to trust their government? Well, between the years of 1930 and 1970, the CDC conducted the Tuskegee experiment, where they took untreated males with syphilis, and they refused to treat them. Even after antibiotics became available, they still did not treat them, and they did not tell them that they had syphilis. They told those people that they were there to secure their health, and they did not secure their health. They abused them. You say, well, that was in the past, although I don't think 1970 was that long ago. Well, in 2012, whistleblower William Thompson came forward and said, we published a study that said MMR does not cause autism, but we lied. In fact, we shredded data that showed that when black boys are vaccinated on time, they have increased rates of autism diagnosis. And we shredded it and we left it out of the paper. As an African American and a PhD, I want to ask each of you, are we going to exclude 70% of African American people from the workforce and from education? Right, my ancestors did not work this hard. I come from a family that worked very hard, and I'm very aware that my privileges are dependent on the work of my grandmother and my great-grandmother, and I have great respect for these people that put me where I am. And yet you're telling me that my son will not be able to be educated if, based on the history of African Americans in this country, that he doesn't want to be vaccinated? All right, so I will leave you with that question. Who are we going to exclude from the workforce? Are we going to continue with discrimination and segregation in the United States of America? Thank you.
But can we allow Reverend Chickenfoot to lead us after he comes from the theological cemetery? Or do we need someone that God has raised in our midst in the final days of the white man's world? We're living at the end of the white man's world. Oh, I don't mean Manhattan Island is going to blow up. I don't mean that America's going to explode. But the end of the white man's world. You got all kinds of worlds. You got the sports world. You got the music world. You got the underworld. Huh? We're talking about the white man's world. An end to this age, an end to this dispensation in time, an end to the way things are run as we have come to know it in the world today. An end to the world. Otherwise, God has no reason to blow up the planet Earth. He set the planet Earth on a course, and it still bows and bends and yields and submits to the divine will and dictate of Almighty God. He set it on a course and it moves at 1,037 and a third miles per hour. It doesn't pick up a second, nor does it lose a second. It goes and moves according to the law under which he created it, and it bows to his will. Nothing is as rebellious as the white man. Everything that God says thou shalt not do, the white man says, gee whiz, buddy, it's all right. Come on, try it. You like it, baby. It's okay. Gee whiz, you guys are too rigid. You only live once, man. Come on. You know the Chuck talks like that. I'm talking about Bob. I'm talking about Bill. I'm talking about Larry. You know the guys I'm talking about. Now, sister, you acting like you don't know them. Well, that's why we don't allow no white folks in here. Because if we had white folks in here, you'd be looking all behind you and wondering what Bob and Bill and Larry and Susie and Cindy might be thinking. So this is a family meeting. We don't allow white folks in here. We don't have no Chinese. We don't have no Japanese. We don't have no Vietnamese. We don't have no Koreans. We don't have no French. We don't have no English. We don't have no Dutch, no Greek, no Freak. We don't have none of them in here. Nobody but the black man and the black woman, the citizens of the slaves and the people of God. You're the only ones that we allow in here. This is your meeting hall. This is your liberty hall. This is your freedom hall. This is your independence hall. This is your constitutional convention. If you're going to get free at all, it's going to be here. If you're going to get free at all, it's going to be under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Not the right.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your fucking head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I
I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a bitch, your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I been through probably offend you, this is Paula's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise check out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert, and excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the fuck you hurt? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff gonna plead this case. The reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth and the prophet say, I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
This is why
DNA.
Entertainment hip hop has done more damage to young African American than racism in recent years.
I live about my DNA. This is my heritage, all I'm inheriting. Money and power, the maker, I'm meritorious. Tell me something, you motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation, but DNA an abomination. This how I this when you in the matrix, out your bullets, reaping what you're sowing, stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillar, sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building, diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floors, peaches out the window, peeking out the window, baby in the pool, Godfather calls, only Lord knows. I've been going hammer, dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras, eat it for a daughter's rock, wearing sandals, yoga on the Monday, stretches in the planner, watching all the snakes. Curving all the fakes, phone never on, I don't camera stand, I don't compromise, I just penetrate, sex, money, murder, these are the